Do I don't know if I need to hold this microphone. This is weird. I'm not used to this.
This is going to make it to the podcast.
Whatever.
Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Stanley. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of BS Guys Car. Well, my gosh. Dude, everything's out of whack. Okay, we're leaving it
it's
in there.
It's January.
It's February, actually. Your brain February. Is out of whack. Yeah, so talk about your all-time intros. I dropped the ball. Welcome back to another episode of the BS Car Guys podcast. A little bit of a different setup tonight. If I sound different, we're filming in a different part of the room with wireless microphones. We're trying something new from the dog couch that my dog wrecked. So I'm sitting on the holes that she ripped in the seat. And we have a guest. Sean Hale is with us tonight.
Hey, everybody. Hey, all those car culture enthusiasts out there. Excited to be here.
There you go.
He said excited.
That was a long-winded intro.
He said excited. It sounds like you didn't even look excited. You didn't sound excited. Oh, that's a smile. I saw it. Anyway.
That was good. I thought it sounded recorded. It was just right off the gun. It was good.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And you know, here's the thing. It doesn't matter if his facial expression looks excited or not, or mine, because you refuse to let us put the video on the YouTube channel, which has been there for 2 years with no uploads.
I have a face for podcasting, Bill.
That's okay.
Bill has a shirt for podcasting tonight.
Yeah, trust me. You don't want that on Facebook.
You mean I just take it off. Then you really be sad.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that.
I had to clip this microphone on my chest hair.
That you don't have.
That I don't have.
All right, anyway.
So how about we do this? How about first, let's talk to Sean a little bit about his car ownership history. And then let's talk about some cars that got sold in the last little bit that we need to talk about. All right.
Cars that got sold. Okay, cool. All right, Sean, let's do it. Still.
All right, so we always like to ask people when they're on the show, what was your first car?
My first car was a 1989 Nissan Maxima.
Like it.
Stanley loves the Maxima.
Did it have the ground effects kit?
No, it didn't.
But he knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, it didn't have the ground effects kit on it.
You were half cool.
Yeah, that was the first car. The second one was a Dodge Dakota truck that I rebuilt the engine in, and then after that it just took off. It was Mustangs after that. A lot of Mustangs.
Did you invite a Mustang person?
I did. I'm good friends with a Mustang person. If you were a avid longtime listener of the BS Car Guys podcast, you'll remember all the way back in season one when we were talking about Mustangs and your stereotypical Mustang owner. I even threw a little thing out there back then. It was like, well, I do have one friend who's a Mustang guy and he doesn't fit that mold. And then we kept going. This is the guy I was talking about.
Yeah, I haven't gone into any crowds with my Mustangs, so that's good. It's a good thing.
No curbs, yeah, no power poles.
Across the road in a ditch, though.
You weren't behind the wheel. That doesn't count.
That's true. Yeah. I do want to clarify, I'm not necessarily a Mustang guy. If I had to pick a car, it would be a Mustang, but I enjoy all types of cars. And
point of fact, along with my coaching, Sean has become more of a JDM guy.
Mm-hmm.
Big Skyline guy.
Yeah, very interested in Skylines. Still not a Corvette guy, though. So I think it's probably at the bottom of the list still. Corvette for me. Yeah.
And I didn't set that up.
How old are you?
I'm 33.
Don't worry, it's coming. Don't worry.
That's all right. Stanley went from being a BMW guy to a Corvette guy. Well, I should back that up. Stanley went from being a BMW guy to a minivan guy to a KDM guy to I wish I was a Corvette guy.
All that tracks. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I see the progression.
Yeah. He actually has a couple pair of New Balance whites in the closet steel box, but he can't wear them officially until he gets the Corvette.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, New Balance are back in style now. I don't know how. I just learned this. My kids just told me this.
When they came to visit you at the nursing home, they told you? Or?
Yes. They told me this. Then I saw it on the news that New Balance was the thing now. I was like, man, are you serious? Because I did have like three or four pairs of New Balance. But anyway, back to Sean.
Yeah, so.
How many 12s did you have in those cars?
Subwoofers.
Oh, I didn't have any subwoofers in any vehicles. Yeah. If there was anything in the trunk, it was stripped and a battery was in the trunk.
Oh.
Yeah. Sean was more about going fast, I think, if the impression I've got is accurate.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we are NASCAR, but also drag racing. And that's what I come up doing was hitting the strip. Rockingham in the beginning, and then Z-Max when it first opened up. So a lot of straight line stuff. So, yeah, good roll cages.
Using that solid rear axle for drag racing. So how many Fox bodies have you had?
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot and count. Three. I've owned three Fox bodies, two Terminator Cobras, a 2015 GT, and an 01 Celine. Yep.
So there you go.
Wow.
Six Mustangs.
Technically, from what we learned a couple of weeks ago, I mean, all of those are kind of Fox bodies.
That's yes. A good point. Yes. Yes.
Valid point.
They are all technically Fox platform vehicles.
All right. So so you didn't have subs in your car, so you weren't worried about that. You was trying to go you're trying to go really fast, straight most of the time. What's the best quarter mile?
11.2.
Yep.
I mean, if you think about a street car in the early 2000s, that's moving.
Yes, it is. Nowadays, you know,
that's a respectable time. Yeah, I mean, nowadays, off the showroom floor, a bone stock 5.0 F-150 will do 13.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Which goes back to our point that cars are too fast nowadays.
That's exactly right. Cars are too fast.
If all cars are fast and no cars are fast, and I don't like that concept.
I don't either. I'm mad you said it.
Yeah. See, I mean, it kind of, like you just said something about the Corvette. If the Corvette ZR1 comes out, when it comes out, and it's doing 0-60 in 2.9 seconds, and you can do that in a sedan that with no training and be a spoiled teenager whose parents just so happened to get in that car because that was in at the time. I mean, what's special about the Corvette now?
Yeah, that's the sound.
I don't like how this is going. No, switch that.
We went to a sad place. Hey, speaking of Corvettes, completely, look, squirrel moment here. But today I had to drive down to Wilmington to go see a customer. And on my way back, I took a little detour to grab some lunch. And
was it Bojangles?
No, it was not Bojangles because I missed my exit for the Bojangles. Otherwise, it would have been Bojangles. I drove down this side road near Lake Waccamaw and went and found a Burger King, and on my way there and back to the highway, I passed this house slash garage shop, and under an awning, he had four, I guess those are second gen Corvette Stingrays, like 67, 65, like that body style, like the first Stingray, I guess. Four of them.
And you didn't do the bill thing and stop and inquire about this?
If I didn't have somewhere I had to be, which was back here to do stuff, I would have stopped. I have mentally marked the location and will stop at some point.
And you have a Bojangles as a landmark to remind you, I'm sure.
Well, it was actually Burger King, but yes, I have it landmarked.
Oh, I heard you say Burger King, but they don't have those anymore where I live. They all went out of business at one time. It's weird.
What are you living in, Demolition Man time? Is everything Taco Bell where you're at?
It's about to be Taco Bell. It's about to be all variations of chicken strip restaurants. We got like a Skinny Chickens, Magoo's Chickens, Cane's Chickens. We still got all.
He's making them up.
I am not making this up.
Magoo's Chickens? There's no way there's a Magoo's Chickens.
There is a Magoo's Chicken.
Is that the name of the chicken on your shirt?
I love you.
I love you too. Good night, everybody. Okay.
Now, so you're getting into the JDMs now.
Yeah.
Besides the Skyline.
Yeah, Sean went with me to Duncan Imports because you couldn't go.
Or because I wasn't invited.
No, I don't think that's the case.
I'm gonna let the listeners believe the truth.
As you guide them. Do you work for the White House? You're guiding them towards the truth.
I once upon a time somebody said I should have been a politician. I thought they were crazy. Still think they're crazy. But anyway.
That's because they couldn't picture you with dreadlocks.
Yeah, I had no hair then. I was looking like Sean.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So you can ask Sean about his opinion about Duncan, because clearly I gave my report about Duncan, but I think it probably from somebody who grew up a Mustang guy going to an all JDM warehouse. What was that like?
Yeah, it was really cool. It was nice having Bill there because I didn't know half of the stuff that was in there. And Bill's knowledge helped me with that. But it was really cool. There was a lot of cool stuff in there. It was wild to see some of the cars that were just out in the gravel lot in the rain with no cover, just hanging out outside. So that was pretty cool. Very welcoming people, too. That was really cool. Just let us kind of go on and go through the maze of cars. They have cars packed in there so tight you just can't even move around them. But
you really couldn't walk down every possible spot. Those cars were so tight.
Well, what stood out to you besides the Skyline?
Supra. But what that was a 70s Datsun
510. There was a two-door and the red wagon.
Okay.
Yeah. Which we've looked at before on the podcast. I think that one may actually be like private collection. So and I'm sure the two-door was private collection. That thing was
That was my favorite.
Yeah.
Right there when you walk in the door.
Yeah. Had the ITBs. He had the hood up on it so you could see the engine. Woo! Man, that car looked nice. Real nice.
How many times did they offer Bill a job?
Actually, the guy let us just go.
The owner wasn't there. If the owner was there, I'm sure job offers would have been thrown around and
maybe
considered.
Maybe, yeah, definitely considered.
It's hard.
The commute wouldn't be so bad. I would have thought about it. Huh?
It's hard to go to places like that with Bill because he gets offered jobs. I get offered jobs going to car dealerships, but regular car dealerships. But when he goes to places like that, they get to talking to him and it's like, why don't you work here? And that kind of comes out every time. Because he remembers.
They don't understand how quickly they would be annoyed by me.
No, they get it. They get it. But you'd be good to sell cars.
Okay, got it. Yeah. I don't think I could sell those cars. Because if some kid came in there with a bunch of money wanting to buy a Skyline, I'd be like, kid, you can't have this. We'll sell you a Silvia. And when you learn how to drive it, you come back and I'll sell you a Skyline. I'm pretty sure that's not good for business, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe. So the Datsun caught your eye, the Supras caught your eye. What weird thing that you've never seen before that came from Japan that just like, what is that? And Bill went on an hour-long explanation about what it was.
I would say it was probably the hearses that he has in there. that was pretty wild to see. No hour explanation on that. About 15 minutes.
Solid. Okay. I tried to hold everything in a minimum, maximum of 15 minutes.
There was so much going on, I think,
it was a little bit of overstimulation.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So when we go back, what are you going to go see first?
I'm going straight to that Datsun 510. There was an Integra Type R in a bubble?
Yes.
Yeah.
He had an American market Integra Type R, white on white, in like one of those hyperbolic chamber bubble situations, basically protecting it from all things. And I was really intrigued by that because I'm thinking it must have been like a 0 mile like dealership car. Because he also had a new Nissan Z, like the newest one. He had one of those that was like a brand new 0 mile, like just bought it to collect it kind of a situation.
That's one thing about that, places like that, when they had their private collection and stuff. It's like, hey, I mean, it's cool you got the car, but did you drive it? I mean.
And clearly some of these, no. Like he had a Porsche 944 in there with a Rolls-Royce jet engine in it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you drive that.
That's not on the website.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Did I put, well, it's a Porsche, so I would have looked past it because, you've tainted me on Porsches.
We're even for that chicken joke now, by the way, just so you know. Yeah. So what's your favorite?
I'm probably saying it wrong.
That's okay. What's your favorite Mustang you've had?
Favorite Mustang?
The Mach-E.
I would say it was my 90 trunk car.
Yeah.
I grew up always wanting, I had posters of the Terminator Cobras in my room. That's what I wanted. And then when I finally owned one, unfortunately, they're junk. So yeah, learned a lesson on the second one because I thought, oh, well, maybe I just got a bad one. And then I got the second one and yeah, just turned me off to those for sure. But the 2015 GT with the 5.0 was a good car. But my 90, I think it's sentimental value more than anything. But to me, there's nothing that looks better than a trunk car, Fox body.
Yeah, I grew up really wanting a GT, a hatch, with the ground effects kit. But as I've gotten older, a trunk car, an LX with no body kit on it, and just those nice, clean, like 2.5-inch straight pipe exhaust out the back. Just something about that. Looks real classic. Do what?
The highway patrol car.
Yes, exactly. I mean, if I had it to do, I would have the Matt Farah set up all day. When he built his chip car, that's what I would build too. Not a lot of horsepower, but all the grip, made to go around curves. His Mustang is still by far, it's my all-time favorite Fox body Mustang. So if you haven't ever seen Matt Farah's Mustang, go check it out on YouTube. So.
What color were your Terminators? I'm asking for a reason.
Yeah, I had a Sonic Blue and a gray.
Okay. You know who I was thinking about, right, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a couple Mustang friends. Tom had Ben
Saunders.
Yeah, we had several people we knew with Mustangs. Tom had a Mustang. Dobbs had a Mustang.
Yep. Yeah. What a Saida. What a Dobbs, 17 cars.
Yeah, Saida had a Mustang. Who else had a Mustang?
Saunders had a Mustang. Saunders had a Mustang. And then you go on Camp Lejeune, every third Marine had a Mustang.
Yeah, yeah. Over on the ground side, those guys were all Mustang guys. Like, they were that kind of people. Yeah, they didn't mind running over people. Yeah, they didn't mind running over people.
We were sophisticated on the air station. We had that, remember the 9-3 Viggen that was that was up there by the hangar? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And who was the guy who had the what did he have? Was it an Alpha or a what's the guy that worked for us, but he left like right after I got there? He was a gunny sergeant or master sergeant. What was he? Black dude. What did he have? It wasn't a Renault. It was a
Was it a Fiat? No.
No, it wasn't a Fiat, no. But it was a French car. Was it a Peugeot? No, it wasn't a Peugeot. What were they? What was it? What did he have?
Are you talking about Hart? What is it?
Tally.
Marvin Tally. Yeah.
Marvin Tally. What did Marvin drive? You know what I'm talking about.
I cannot remember. I'm seeing the car in my head, but back then I was a little bit of a troublemaker, and so I wasn't really paying attention to things. Some things that I should have been paying attention to.
My first boss, ladies and gentlemen, Corporal Scamley.
First of all, I was having problems. I was trying to adjust to things. I was not doing well adjusting to things. And then God blessed me with the Bill, who made me realize that, you know what? I ain't that messed up.
100% accurate. Instead, you like, oh, great, I've adopted another child that I'm responsible for somehow. So now yep. I've got to figure out how to get my stuff together so I can straighten this Marine out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was your first problem child.
Until when you got there, I started paying more and more attention because, to be honest, that was around about the time I was starting to calm down a little bit and started
to pay more
get my head over shoulders.
I stayed alive through the next day.
Yeah. Jackass was a thing back then, and they practiced it.
There may have been video of me skiing behind a base police car at one point.
I am not surprised. Not at all. But also, when by the time you got there, we started getting a lot of the guys with the Civics, and then every now and then somebody had a Prelude that was
purple.
Yeah, purple.
Shout out, man, to Humphreys, purple Prelude.
Yeah, because remember that it was the one dude. He got in a motorcycle accident. Eventually, he had a Civic that was done up a little bit, and then he had a CBR.
Yeah, what was his name? He was a cool dude. He worked at Hazmat because I was there with him when he had his motorcycle accident. I can't remember his name though.
Yeah,
I wasn't really into the battery guy. Yeah, I wasn't really into motorcycles back then, so I didn't really care too much about that. And then he got hurt on it, and I was like, well, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
I think he was all raging out when he wrecked, though. That's hearsay. Okay, well, what kinds of things? So just full disclosure, today's February 1st. I had every intention of coming home and doing some really creative car history trivia research to honor Black History Month. And I got busy with other stuff. So sorry, Black History Month. Maybe next time.
There are 27 more days, bro.
Yeah.
Hopefully one more podcast, at least one more podcast in February. Maybe two. But I got some questions for you, Bill.
Perfect. I'm going to get Sean I'm going to phone a friend if I don't know the answers to these questions.
Oh, these are trivia questions, 100%. But Sean is going to keep you in check.
I won't have to speak at all, so that's good.
No. All right. So am I, you know what? That's a good twist. Sean, you know Bill. What reasons or excuses are Bill is Bill going to come up with for not buying a new GX?
Could be interior. I know they did something weird with the seats. The interior on the seats could be an excuse or a reason.
You said it right the first time.
Yeah.
See, he's a listener. He already knows my logic behind not being a. I've already been on a website and tried to build and price one and got mad and quit.
Why did you get mad and quit?
Because I just wanted to see if what I read was true, and it is that you can't have a family and go off road, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Oh, you have four kids? Sorry, off road's not an option for you. You're only allowed to have the city version of the car. But now if you only have one kid or two, you're allowed to go off road. That's stupid. That's racist. And this is Black History Month.
I don't think that's how that works. I'm sure that's not how that works.
That's how it's going to work. I'm going to go to a Lexus dealership and I'm going to be like, you people need to calm down.
You Lexus people. You are one of those Lexus people. You got two of them.
One's a Toyota.
It's a Lexus.
And one is part of a Lexus. At the moment.
All right. Besides your rant about the seats and seeing how you only have one child, so that isn't going to prohibit you from going anywhere.
It is, because I have family that I like to take places.
You don't
including
even,
cousin kids.
Cousin, you can't just go take random kid. No, just no.
If it's white and has no marking on the outside, I can take all the random kids I want. That's how it works.
First, this podcast is going off the rails already. Already.
I know the rules. Right. You people can't stop me.
Oh my God. Too much. So you couldn't do the seven seater with the off-road package?
That's correct. Oh,
I thought it was the plus that you couldn't do it with.
No, you cannot do the third row seat on the most off-road trim package version. I don't really understand why that is. That will be a conversation that I asked the very first Toyota or Lexus engineer I ever get to have a conversation with. But at the moment, it's just a question I don't have an answer to. And it looks like the new Land Cruiser will be the same situation. And so for that reason, I was just having this conversation Sunday with somebody at church, who's also a car person. You know, she was talking about what her next car might be, and we were talking about it. And I said, you know, it makes me wonder what's going to happen with the next 4Runner. I just don't know. I mean, why buy a 4Runner with off-roady bits on it that only seats five people when the Land Cruiser or GX is a better off-roader and only seats five people? So what do you do if you're Toyota? You can't make two of the same thing. So what are they going to do to the 4Runner? Make it smaller and cheaper also? I don't know. It's just really confusing to me.
My dentist and I talk about the 4Runner quite often because he has 4Runner. And I keep telling them, just never get rid of it, first of all.
Let's don't glaze over the fact that you and your dentist talk often. I talk to mine twice a year. That's not often.
That's because you're afraid of dentists.
I'm not afraid of dentists.
I don't believe you.
I'm not afraid of anything.
Anyway, so every time I go see him, we end up talking about his 4Runner. And we talk about what's going to happen with the next one because he knows we do a podcast. And he said, no, he doesn't have an Audi and his wife doesn't have an Audi. Therefore, that stereotype doesn't always apply. But I don't know. I don't really have a real good feel about what they're going to do with the 4Runner. At this point, what I would want them to do is almost nothing. Just keep building it.
Hey, speaking of Toyota, I saw a chart, I don't know, sometime in the last week or two, about total car sales globally. And Toyota is killing it.
Yeah.
Toyota is selling more cars than anybody else. And you know what I think their magic formula is?
What's that?
One, they still sell cars. And two, they didn't go all in on electric. And they don't have any plans to.
First of all, you can't steal my thing because I said that first. I said that first, that Toyota had it right.
I didn't come out here swinging with the Prius as a good car. I just said they didn't go all in on electric.
Speaking of Prius as a good car, did you watch the video, Everyday Driver?
Nope.
You should do it, man. They took a Prius, they put some good tires on it, and they took it to a track with a GR86 and to see how it would do.
Why are you doing this? We already had the part of the podcast where we talked about how all cars are fast, and that makes us sad. Why are you bringing me back to a sad spot?
Because that's funny. It's a Prius on a track.
It's not funny. It's sad. You have to get the right emotion.
Sean, if you went to the track and you saw a Prius out there, would it not catch your eye?
It would catch my eye, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
I didn't say it wouldn't catch my eye, but I would also be like, you're in a Prius.
Bill, would you track a Prius?
Well, that's a complicated question.
No.
Where did said Prius come from?
I don't know. Off the Prius tree. I don't know. Where did it come from?
I mean, if it's coming off the Prius tree and I can do whatever I want with it and I don't have to pay for anything and it's got racing equipment in it, yeah, I'll track a Prius and I'll be faster than you.
You're correct. You're going to be faster than me because I'm not trying to die just to have bragging rights, first of all. And you would never own a Prius, so it couldn't come from your garage. So
Exactly. So now, I didn't even want to
Would you track Sean's Prius?
Sean wouldn't have a Prius.
Why you got to be telling Sean what he would do?
Sean, would you have a Prius?
No, absolutely not.
See?
Sean, you're supposed to take my side.
Sorry, didn't work.
The lines were a little blurred. I didn't know what the side was.
We didn't realize
pro Prius, not pro Prius.
We didn't realize anybody was actually on pro Prius side.
That's where
would you track my Prius?
Yeah, I would track your Prius.
You would try to destroy it, first of all.
The fact that you are aware of that and would still give me your Prius to track tells our listeners a lot.
Yep.
That's how much you love me.
It is how much. And I would tell your wife afterwards and she'd make you go buy me another one.
No. She'd be like, why would you let him drive your car? You should have known.
She would. She definitely.
Is that not what Kendra would say?
That's exactly what she would say.
Yeah. 100% what she would say.
She definitely would. All right. So back to the GX real quick. All right. Besides the fact you can't get seven seats in the most off-roady one. I thought it was just the premium ones, but oh well. I'm sure you looked into it. What else is wrong with it from Bill's side?
Too much technology, too much screen. Hybrid drivetrain coming. Not there yet, but it will. Yeah.
You know you don't have to buy it if you don't want it, right?
I'm not going to buy it. Oh. Well, yeah, but I'm not going to buy one either way, I don't think. I mean, look, when I see one in person, I might think I need to go test drive that and see what I think about it. But here's the thing. I'm about to really upset the whole universe.
No, you're not.
So I was driving back from South Carolina Tuesday.
You said one good thing in that.
Wednesday. Came back on Wednesday. Did I? Well, no. Where was I at? Maybe I came back on Tuesday. I don't really know at this point. Whatever day I was driving back from South Carolina, I passed a car hauler that was loaded down with some new cars coming up from Charleston. I even took some pictures of it, but I was going to wait to send them to you. And it had two different trims. Actually, I guess there were probably three, but I only got to look at the two on the back that were two different trim levels of the new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it.
You like the way it looks, but you like the you would like the way the GX drives way better. Well, it fits your personality way more.
Yeah, that's true. But I've been looking. The Santa Fe has third row seats available without captain's chairs.
Correct.
On multiple trim levels, which I care about a lot, giving me the option to configure a vehicle the way I want it matters to me almost more than what brand it is and price tag. And I want the option to configure the car the way I want it. I don't want some corporate moron in an office somewhere making a decision that, you know, if we put the third row seat in the most off-roady version, our fuel economy numbers on that one will be dangerously close to being outside the national. I don't care. I just want the option. Well, if it's not that, then it's because some kind of stupid something with a spare tire. That's the only thing I can think of. I don't know why. If you already have the chassis, why are you getting me so upset about this stupid GX? I don't know why they don't have the third row seat back there. It's a dumb option. It should be an option, but it's not. So, whatever.
So, you're caught up on third row seats when you have one child, which we have talked about people who do things like that before, and we both didn't understand what was the big hang up. And now you're reversing, which we do this all the time. We contradict ourselves all the time.
Okay, let me get something out there for the listeners who aren't intimately aware of who I am and my entire family. When my wife and my daughter and myself and her mother and her father and her sister and her husband go to dinner or go to the beach or go look at Christmas lights or any number of things that we do as a stintuplet, we do it in one vehicle. We do it in one vehicle.
Did he just make that word up?
He did. He breezed past it, but he broke it.
We do it in one vehicle with all seven of us.
Yeah.
And I drive.
Yeah, we know you drive. We know that. You didn't have to say that part.
So at the moment,
They make vehicles for things like that. It's called minivans, and we're going to talk about minivans in an upcoming episode. Yeah. They make a Honda Odyssey for that. Yeah.
So at the moment, our choices are, because keep in mind the 80 series is not drivable. Our options are our 04 Land Cruiser, which seats 8 people comfortably, as most off-roaders should. Their Sequoia, which seats 7 people comfortably with even a little bit more room than the Land Cruiser, which their Sequoia is an 06. Or their 2022 Honda Pilot, which seats 7 people very uncomfortably. So that's the reason why when I get upset that I can't buy an off-roady vehicle that I want to be excited about, but I can't buy it with 7 seats in it. Because I do travel in a group of 7 regularly.
Well, we know that. But, you know, we are Americans, and, you know, we pride ourselves on our selfishness sometimes.
Yep.
Maybe you should just get this, and it's like, you know what, family, y'all going to have to drive yourself because we only got 5 seats.
What am I doing to the planet at that point, Stanley? What am I doing? I'm carpooling to save the planet. Do you want me to destroy the planet? Do you people want me to destroy the planet?
You people again. Anyway.
I'm trying to work it in as many times as I can in one podcast.
No, seriously, when I saw the GX, I did think about you because one, you have one, and two, I liked it. I
don't have a GX.
I apologize. Didn't you have a GX?
No.
You didn't. We talked badly about a GX for like 7 straight episodes because you didn't like the front end of the old one.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it was. I apologize. It stuck in my head. But, you know, also, you're a man.
Also, FYI, the old GX, the Prada, also too tight for 7 people, even though it had a third row seat.
Yes. Yeah,
they were third rows for small circus performers.
Yes, I agree with you. I have the other. I have the
Is
other.
That politically correct enough?
That's yeah. Very correct. Yeah.
Good. That's why. That's one of the reasons Sean's here, to keep you under control. I got you. But anyway,
see, so what do you, Sean? What do you think about the new GX?
I haven't done any research on it. I just.
Oh, you don't got to do that. You just have an opinion.
I'm not a big off-road vehicle fan, so it's hard for me to say that, you know, I saw the Land Cruisers and the interiors of those, and I do agree. I'm not a big screen display fan. I don't know what they're doing with displays nowadays. Even on the Pilot, they're big, but they're also tilted forward. I'm an old school, simple knobs kind of guy. I can't do a 12-inch display in a vehicle, and it makes no sense to me.
Or a 47-inch display across the entire dash Cadillac Escalade.
Hey, Lincoln got him beat with this new thing that's coming out in the Nautilus. It literally goes from...
You sit on a screen.
Yeah.
The whole seat is a screen. New curved LED seat screen.
It goes from A-pillar to A-pillar.
You'll never believe Nautilus. What your butt is watching.
Yeah. But I mean, I
it's like I'm sitting on a cloud, or at least the image of a cloud.
No, you're not. I get the whole thing about the screens. I'm not that big of a screen guy. I drive a Mazda CX-5, and I like my car not having a touchscreen.
Shares Mazda CX-5.
Shares, yeah. Share ride sharing.
What?
Shares with who?
His wife.
Oh.
Is it not her car? You told all of us. You told all of us listeners that was her car and that she could pick any car she wanted. And that was the car she picked after you harassed her into picking that car. So that is her car, Stanley.
First of all, don't act like you don't influence your wife's car purchase decisions.
100%.
And second of all, my 19-year-old daughter stole my car. I mean, I'm not the first father whose daughter started driving and all of a sudden it became her car somehow.
You could have bought her car. That's number one. And number two, I'm not done. Is there still a minivan outside?
Currently, no. My son had to borrow the minivan because the car something happened.
So you could drive the minivan. That's your car.
That would be worse.
That's your car. The minivan is your car.
No, right? I don't. Actually, I like my minivan. Maybe I should let you borrow the minivan so you can get a GX and be okay with it.
No. I would just be unhappy twice.
I mean.
How does that do anybody any good?
We're 40-something. We're supposed to be unhappy. What are you talking about?
No. I don't believe that.
Anyway, back to what I was saying.
Yes, please.
My wife does not like three-row vehicles, three-row SUVs. I tried to get her to, when we was looking at the 6.5, we wanted to go to downsize. We wanted to get a smaller vehicle. And then, you know, our children and people started needing rides or wanting to go with us places. So we was like, oh, maybe we should have got a slightly bigger vehicle, which took us back to the Santa Fe, which we looked at as well. And then Mazda came out with the CX-90. And I was like, hey, Hey, it's bigger Mazda, and it's not the nine that you thought had a snouted nose. Remember that whole conversation?
I do. I was already thinking of the word snouted.
And she likes it, but she's like, oh, I got three rows. I don't want three rows. That's too big for us. I was like, wait a minute. So Mazda came out with the CX-70 this week. I know it was in all your feeds. So we are actually considering maybe looking at that.
No. Get a CX-50 Meridian.
It's not bigger.
But it's cooler.
We don't go off. If it doesn't have pavement, we ain't trying to go, bro. We ain't trying to do it.
I could teach you some things.
No, you can't, because I'm not going in the woods with you.
This is a losing battle.
We did that before. You remember what happened the last time we were in the woods together in North Carolina?
Yeah, I scared you. But that's not a hard thing to do. So, hey, did you see? I did not. Sean actually asked me about these things. Did you see Donald Trump's car sold?
No.
Donald Trump has a car? His blue Lamborghini Diablo VT sold at, was it Bear Jackson?
Bear Jackson.
Take a guess at how much his blue Diablo VT sold for at Bear Jackson.
$2,024.
No. No. $1.1 million. It's an all-time high Diablo price. It's the most expensive Diablo ever sold.
I'm surprised he fit in the Diablo, first of all.
The VT is the open top version of the Diablo, so he could let his comb over could flow in the wind.
That would be one of the issues he has, but you know, those seats, they are only so wide, bro. That's a lot to fit in the seats. They got a limit.
Maybe he drove it in his younger days. $1 million
for a Diablo?
Yeah, $1 million. And $100,000, which is also a lot of money. Like, as a standalone item is a lot of money. But yeah.
I guess somebody liked them some Donald Trump, because they can't like the Diablo that much.
Yeah. So second item, and somebody had sent me this on Instagram and I didn't realize who it belonged to, but my goodness, I should have. In the world of what in the Ed Hardy is going on, did you see Richard Rawlings Humvee?
No, I didn't. Sean looks like he wanted to tell me about it.
Google this thing, because I need your reaction to it. You already know what I'm going to say. As soon as you see it, you'll know what I'm going to say.
Who's Humvee now?
Richard Rawlings of Gas Monkey Garage.
It was also the highest sold Humvee ever.
That's sad.
So that went down in history too, along with the Diablo.
It went down in history, but for a whole nother reason.
Yeah, for a whole nother.
All right, show me the picture thing.
So what did it sell for?
I can't remember.
I didn't look the price up on it. I didn't realize. I just saw the pictures.
I just know he made 500. He made half a million off of it. 700 and something thousand, 725,000 maybe.
Goodness gracious. I Googled it, saw the picture. I choked back some vomit, and then I moved on with my day.
I'm not seeing something that should be.
It's a six by six.
The yellow thing? What the heck is it? Is it the yellow thing?
It's a green color.
It's green gold wheels.
There's a yellow one too that looks horrible as well.
This is green with six wheels.
I got to find it. I'm sorry. I'm using Bing right now for some reason, and Bing isn't helping me.
That's okay. I'm sending it to you right now.
I'm still Googling it.
It's okay, old man. I got you covered.
Hey, I'm gonna pull out Yahoo in a minute.
Just click on that. Click on that messenger pigeon I just sent over. Pull the tube off.
I just saw that one. There's a yellow one like this too. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
Why are there two of these in the world?
Why are there any of them?
Yeah.
Six by six Hellcat.
Hellcat.
People like, somebody just paid over $1 million for a Diablo. This is worse, but I mean.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. All right. What's this other, what's this other trivia related question you were going to ask me?
No, you just made me look up this thing. What?
Now, there's another interesting thing that happened at Barry Jackson that I saw. There was a pretty typical, normal Bronco. I think it was an 80, 88 or 89, just restored, nothing uh-huh. major. I think it sold for about 140,000.
Oh, my goodness.
130,000, somewhere around in there.
The Bronco market has not peaked yet.
Insane.
The first-gen Bronco market is still up there. Which is pretty crazy.
Which makes me feel even worse because I should have daggone of all the Broncos that were around me.
And should have bought one.
I didn't. Yeah, should have bought one. Should have.
We've all got one of those stories in our life that we should have done something.
Well, actually, most of my stuff is about this around that on GX that you have made me look at four-wheel drive vehicles 1,000% more than I used to. So I follow these things now. And I like the GX. Anyway, I don't care about the screen because I care about the fact that I like how it looks. My wife says she liked how it looked. And, you know, she don't do that often. I'm not buying one. I don't have bill money.
I don't have this theoretical bill that you know's money either. But I do like the way it looks. I like it in the brown color. I think it's a good looking vehicle. But I have certain expectations of what it should be, and it misses the mark on all of those expectations.
What car ever hit 100% of your expectations?
I don't know.
There is none. Every car has a compromise.
Probably. Probably. I don't know. I have to think about that.
Yeah. There's going to be something I don't like about every car, any car I ever have, no matter how much money I have. And like you know me, I'm not the 4x4 go off road type of dude, but you have made me interested in these things. So I start paying more attention to them. And I actually like that thing. I'm not a fan of gigantic touch screens, but that's the way of the world now. And I like new vehicles. So.
You know what's interesting is if I think about cars that I've spent time in, if the car is, and I think this is really interesting, you've made me think about something. If the car I'm in, regardless of what it is newer than 2005. Very good. Newer than 2005. The thing that I don't like about it is almost always electronic.
Yeah, I mean, we know you.
No, I just mean for me personally.
Yeah, we know you. We know. And the crazy thing is, for all you people
but it's
who
not always,
build some kind of curmudgeon, don't know tech type dude, he is a go-to person when it comes to tech in his family. I guarantee 100% that.
Agree. But, I love technology. I'm not, yeah. I mean, I'm not Kip Dynamite in the extra credit scene at the end of Napoleon Dynamite with his song at his wedding about technology, but I do love technology. There's a reference for you.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
But, okay, so
how many times do you think it took me to get through that movie? You know me.
I can't believe you watched it at all, to be honest with you. It ain't really for you people. I got one more. I feel pretty proud of myself, too, if I'm being honest. Okay, so if it's newer than 2005, the thing that will frustrate me will almost always be technology-related. And it's not always the same thing, either. So I had a rental van in California for a work trip last year, and I did not like how complicated the auto start stop feature was to disable every time I drove it. My truck, yes, my truck has auto start stop, and I do have to turn it off every single time I turn it on because I haven't bought a tuner yet to permanently delete it. But, and it's aggravating, but it's not the thing I hate. The thing I hate is that there's no combination of buttons or drive modes that I can be in that I can fully disable traction control. So it makes it very hard to do donuts with my daughter in the truck when I want to. So it's almost always technology related. The thing I hated about my Audi was that it thought if a car was turning in front of me next Tuesday, I was going to die and it would lock up the ABS. And it felt like the motor was going to come out of the hood. Okay, so it's different technologies that I hate, but it's almost always technology or electronic related issues that bug me on new cars. So
you want a Fox body?
I mean, it kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? No, what I really want is like an early 90s Accord or Prelude or, you know. Or go back to a diesel Jetta, but with a manual.
Well, I mean, you got rid of it. It could have 400,000 miles on it right now in the driveway.
If I still had it, it'd have 600,000 miles on it.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, for some reason, I like that little thing. And I think it's your fault that I like these things. So now.
It's true. It is true. It's my fault. And like I said, I like it. I like it enough that I printed out a thing from the Toyota website on the new Land Cruiser that you cut out
on paper,
fold it and tape it together. And you have a 3D scale model of the new Land Cruiser. I did that as a craft with Anna a couple weeks ago, but I didn't tell you because I was embarrassed by that. And now I've told everybody.
Oh, like real paper? You have a printer? What's that?
Yeah, I have a printer. Do you not have a printer? I'm surprised you don't still have a fax machine.
How old are you? I think my printer can fax. I just thought about it.
So it's kind of complicated to get to, but you have to go to the Toyota website, and then you have to go to future vehicles, and then you have to go to the new Land Cruiser, and then you have to go to the bottom of the new Land Cruiser page, and then there's like a... I don't know, downloads or something. And then there's like screensavers, but then there's a print out of Land Cruiser at home option. And then there's two to choose from. There's the launch edition with the round headlights that look retro. And then there's like the newer version. There.
First of all,
I gave you something to do.
You shouldn't have told me nothing about your paper mache Land Cruiser. You should not have done that.
There was no gluing and taping over a ball involved. It was not paper mache. It wasn't making an elephant.
All right, cool. I got one more question. Well, actually, two more questions for you. One I've already kind of asked you, but you didn't answer. No, I'm going to add another one. All right. So I was watching some material at work about the GX, right? And somebody said this thing, and I never really thought about it, so I want your opinion on it. They said that asked the question, should Lincoln build a GX type vehicle off the Bronco chassis? And I never really thought about that. And I know your fear is that they would mess it up. But should
I'll let Sean answer that.
I don't think they should. They would definitely mess it up. I think they should even take a shot at it.
I mean, well, Ford couldn't even get the Bronco right.
Yeah.
I mean,
they still haven't got the Bronco right.
Yeah, of course. I mean, car companies mess up cars out of town, but
although that Heritage Edition does look pretty good.
Looks good.
Oh, I saw a black and white one the other day.
Why has it got to be black and white?
Because the car was black and white, Bill.
There's a it's like that kind of a peachish orange colored one.
I think I saw one.
Whatever that color is. There's one of those that's the Heritage Edition with the white roof and white wheels at Ashboro Ford. So I went and got my oil change yesterday. So I saw it. I was tempted to go look at it, but I was in the middle of like a 2-hour conference call and had work stuff going on. So I literally worked the entire time I was at the dealership for like an hour and a half. So
yeah.
Why does it take an hour and a half to get your oil change? Ridiculous.
Because I don't think I have a reason for that.
It shouldn't.
Yeah, that's right.
If you bought a Lexus, that wouldn't be an issue.
I mean, if I bought a Formula One team, it wouldn't be an issue either. I'd get a 3-minute oil change. So,
cool.
Okay. What's your other trivia question for me? I thought these were going to be like hard trivia questions, not just like opinions you already knew the answer to.
We have a guest, so we can't, get you too upset. Can't let everybody see you like that.
First of all, I have yet to be upset.
Ever?
I don't know that I've ever actually been upset on the podcast. I have played up my emotions regarding certain things to make myself more curmudgeonly, but
I don't think some of it was play.
Not legitimately upset.
I think some of them touched your feelings.
Like what?
Now we're about to be on here for 2 hours.
No, we're not. What? I mean, I just thought you had something in mind. I can't picture something that legitimately upset me.
All right, I'm going to upset you with this. So did you see Ford unveiled a new 2025 Explorer today? Yeah. I'm going to upset you with this.
Explorer?
Yes.
Didn't they just remodel that?
Yeah, 7 years ago.
No.
It was like 3-4 years ago.
It wasn't even that, was it?
Mm-hmm. Actually, it wasn't that because we talked about on the podcast.
Right.
In the first season. Yeah, yeah. So they just did this thing, right? And they got a new infotainment screen in it. So we know you hate that already. But they upped the processor in this, and one of the things that they're flaunting as a reason to buy this thing is it'll run games. So they turned the Ford Explorer into a PlayStation. You can hook up your game controllers to the screen, the infotainment screen, and play games. You can hook a Bluetooth keyboard up on it and do email and all this other stuff.
Okay, so I'm looking at 2025. And you're right, they did update it. The grill's bigger. And the headlights are maybe a little different. I'd call this a refresh. This is not a new call.
No, I said update.
Yeah, that is not. Excuse me, that is not an all new car.
How do you feel about playing Gran Turismo in your Ford Explorer?
Well, I always have a story for everything. So here's. Here's what I'm going to tell you in response to that question.
John, how do you feel about playing Gran Turismo while sitting in the backseat of a Ford Explorer?
It sounds like the police edition, like, because they're not going to be doing anything, so they get to play games and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. So
you're way too calm, Sean. Way too calm.
So here's what I think. He's trying to offset me. Here's what I think. If you, I don't know if you see car commercials on your like feed or when you watch stuff on YouTube, but because I basically only ever look at cars.
I'm not a peasant, sir. I pay Google's too, so I don't see commercials. Absolutely.
I understand. So because I basically
like only one of the elite should.
I don't have Stanley money. You know, you got that fancy dreadlock money. You could buy stuff.
You're just so jealous you can't grow hair no more.
Yep. So for whenever because I only ever look at car stuff, whenever I get on YouTube to watch a video, I basically see some sort of a car related commercial for basically every commercial. It's either that or it's CNC machine related. It's one of the two. Most of the time, it's a commercial for the company I already work for, which is a lot of fun seeing people you work with on commercial for YouTube. But anyway, I've been seeing a new commercial recently, and this I'm going to get to how this answers my question. So
he
this
was going to go down the winding road.
This is a commercial. This is a commercial for the Cars.com app. Okay, and it's this lady and her husband. And her husband is standing outside next to their little, like, Ford Fiesta or something. It's, you know, a sad little car. And he's got a sad little dog next to him. And the wife says, "You're looking at SUVs again, aren't you?" And he's like, "No, why would you say that?" And she's like, "Because every time you look at SUVs, you start turning into that version of yourself you want to be. You see yourself being while you drive an SUV or something like that." And then it cuts back to him. It cuts back to him and he's standing in the woods with a giant wolf dog in a plaid shirt with a beard and an axe on his shoulder. And what's behind him? Oh, it's not that sad little car anymore. No, no, no. Is it a brand new rugged SUV? No, no, no. It's a first-gen Bronco with a canoe on the roof because that's a real SUV. So that commercial is, to me, equivalent to putting a PlayStation inside your Ford Explorer because you can be in your sad little SUV that's pretending to be an SUV. It's really a minivan, folks. Playing a video game. Playing a video game where you get to drive real cars that are more authentic than the one you're sitting in. And that's the thing. That's how they compare. That commercial is just another version of that. It's like, hey, we want to sell you cars, all the cars, most of which are new. But what's the best car we can show to grab your attention? Oh, it's a first-gen Bronco with a canoe on the roof. Because we actually know that's what real SUVs look like. I mean, that's all the marketing needs to say, right? We couldn't have put if we had put a Mazda CX-50 Meridian behind that guy, they'd be like, well, that's not an SUV. That's a crossover, right? They had to put an actual SUV. And the only way they could get one was to go back to a first-gen Bronco. Probably because they didn't know anybody with an 80 series.
I don't think you completely squared that circle, but it's just, we're just going to let you have that one.
No, I'm saying look.
No, you don't got to explain it no more.
I like to play Mud Runner. That's my current video game obsession, which I haven't played in months, but that's my current video game, you know, that I play once every 3 months. And it's all off-roading, like huge, rugged, heavy four-wheel drive, locking front and rear diff, solid axle, 54-inch tire, off-road vehicles. Guess what they don't have on that game? A new Ford Explorer.
I don't think you made your point. You should keep going.
I did. So if I get in the new Ford Explorer to play a video game, what kind of game am I playing? One with real SUVs. That's my point.
I think you should. Sean, did you think he made his point?
Yes, very clear. Yes, it was a good point.
It was valid. I don't think he. I don't think he made his point. I don't think you made his point. No. I think you should elaborate a little more.
I will say one thing that throws me off is that when I'm watching commercials for vehicles, whether it be like even a new 4Runner or something like that, seeing a new vehicle rolling through creeks and going through the backwoods just does not appeal to me at all. Because when I think of off-roading, I think of the 80 series or old Jeep Wranglers. New cars rolling through that stuff just throws me off. Like the Honda Pilot going through a creek and then climbing a rocky side of a hill just doesn't make any sense to me. And it doesn't make me want to buy that vehicle.
Well, that's marketing. We all have issues with marketing and what they try to market these vehicles as that we know they can't do. But at the same time,
I think it's we're like I think Sean has a good point here. I think we're
he has a good point.
As humans, we still have this thing in the back of our head that can easily connect fiction from reality. And I remember being a kid in the 90s and seeing a Honda Passport commercial where this Honda Passport blasts across this wooded field and drives through a giant pink birthday cake. Do you remember the commercial I'm talking about, Stanley?
I absolutely remember that commercial. I didn't remember it was a Passport, but I remember that commercial.
It was either that or it was the Isuzu Rodeo, which they were the same vehicle.
It so probably was the Rodeo.
It's easy to confuse the two in my 14-year-old mind. Regardless, as a 14-year-old, I watched that commercial and was like, dang, I would drive that thing through a giant birthday cake. Because it clearly looked like it was capable of going off-road. It looked rugged. Let me tell you something. I looked at a car today in 10 minutes of free time that I had from 5:10 to 5:20 before I had to get back home. And in that lot, they had, and I didn't even let myself go look at it and get in it because it would have been a bad situation. They had a 1994 Toyota 4Runner with a manual transmission. Ooh, now that's an SUV. That's a really good SUV. 22R four-cylinder engine, get like 25 miles to the gallon, will run forever. I mean, Clarkson literally put one in the ocean overnight. Now, his was a diesel, but basically the same vehicle. I'm telling you, that's a rugged SUV. You see that in a commercial going up the side of a hill, and you think, yeah, I'd buy that because I could do that in it. You see a Pilot doing it, and you go, well, that guy's probably voided his warranty.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're not 40 yet, but don't worry, it's coming. well, I mean, we're 40-year-old dudes and, 37-year-old dudes. We live in an area of the country where we have been outside and stuff. We have varying degrees of being outdoors and being in trucks and being around rugged dudes and rugged vehicles and all of that stuff. But you had also, take into account that not everybody grew up like us, I mean.
That's a good point, Stanley. Let's take a moment. Listeners, if you can hear the sound of my voice and you haven't been outside today, stop what you're doing. Take the podcast mobile or just pause it and get outside. Get outside.
I thought you was about to go say go touch grass.
Go touch grass. Go touch grass. Get outside. If you're listening to this podcast in prison and you can't go outside right now, I'm sorry. But the next opportunity you get for yard time, go touch some gravel.
If you're listening to this podcast in prison, Bill is dressed like y'all right now.
I do not have a number stenciled on me.
I mean, you do look like old boy when he was in Cool Hand Luke right now. All you need is a pack of Cools rolled up in your sleeve.
I roll my roll my pack of Cools up in my sleeve.
Yeah. But yeah, man, you know, some people, they ain't been outside, man. A CRV is the most off-roady thing they've ever been in their lives. It's that ain't what the, that ain't the world. We are not the majority in that. We usually, and I don't know Sean that well. He bought those Mustangs to go fast. You buy your vehicles so you can move your family around and go off road when you get a chance to. But seeing how that didn't really happen no more because you work 97 hours a week. I bought my vehicles to move my four kids around, and that was my goal. And we tend to buy things for the purpose that we need them to serve. But that's like these women these people who are driving like these big Suburbans and stuff, and they have no children and never tow anything. It's a vanity purchase. All these things are vanity purchases.
That's a really good point. I mean, I would venture to say that the AT4 Yukon in white, I think if you buy one, it automatically comes with a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. You are here, but you have been on Twitter here lately or something. You just know all the little things, don't you?
Sir, I believe it's called X.
Twitter?
X.
Twitter's X? X is Twitter?
Yeah. Twitter. Yeah, X going to give it to you.
Twitter.
You need to know what people are tweeting. X going to give it to you.
And on that note, folks, I think it is. We have a DMX reference. It is time for Stop Recording. Before we start singing Old Outcast and...
Look. You say what you want, but my hand's already in the air, and I don't care.
Hey, you are this close from being getting in your Petey Pablo mode.
I'll swing it around my helicopter. Keep them coming.
Sean, is that too old for you?
The
reference?
Which one?
All three?
Petey Pablo?
Oh, no, that's not too old. Right. North Carolina, come on, raise up.
See? Look.
How old? All right. No, I'm not going to do that to you. He's going to date us. I'm not going
to. Stanley, I don't know if you remember this, but we did like basically an entire episode on slang young people use today. We already dated ourselves.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And you're sitting in an old man chair right now in a white skivvy shirt.
This is a couch.
A white skivvy shirt and blue jeans.
This is a couch, sir, not a chair.
Good night, Bill.
Good night, Stanley.
I love you, Bill. Nice to meet you, Sean.
Nice to meet you.
Good night, Sean.
On your chair.
Whatever.